Am I fixed? All right. Good morning. Our Bible reading is taken from the Old Testament today, and it's from 2 Kings in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "The company of the prophet said to Elisha, 'Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live.' And he said, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with your servants?' And Elijah replied, he said, 'I will,' Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. 'Oh my Lord,' he cried out, 'it was borrowed.' The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. 'Lift it out,' he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it." The message today is simply the tale of two axes. The axe head that was lost, of course. Years ago, my brother-in-law, he went to Coventry to visit my parents in his big car. And the time came for him to go home around about 10 o'clock at night. And he went out to the car, and it was dark, of course, took out the keys from his pocket, and all of a sudden he dropped them. And they dropped down, and unfortunately he'd parked the car over a drain, and the keys just popped straight down, and he never did recover those keys. And they were in a state of panic. In the end, they had to call out the AA and they sorted things out. How often we lose things. I remember an occasion in our house years ago when we'd lost the house keys. And I jokingly said, "Maybe they're in the bread bin." And lo and behold, we lifted the lid and there they were. Now, I'm pretty certain I didn't put them there, but I don't know. I may not be innocent. But you picture the scene, this scene where they're swinging this axe and the axe head is lost. The first thing to notice about this story is they're on the move. There's these prophets, there's about 100 or more of them, and they have a leader called Elisha, who's their leader, their pastor, if you like. And they said to him, "Look, there's not room for us where we're living now. We need to move to a bigger place, down by the River Jordan. There'll be water there, of course." And he said, "Well, yeah, go." And they said, "Well, will you come with us?" And to notice in that story, you know, leadership is so, so important. In spiritual work, leadership in all walks of life is important. Elisha was their leader, and they said, "Look, please go with us." He said, "Yeah, I'll come with you." They needed him. You know, leaders in a church, you know, the first part of this message this morning is that leaders are vitally important. They have an enormous task, a responsible task, especially in the church of Jesus Christ. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Peter. You remember the Apostle Peter, how he failed and denied Jesus 3 times. You know, Jesus rose from the dead and he picked up with Peter. And he said to Peter, while they were just sitting together, he said, "Peter, feed my sheep." And then he went on to say, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." You know, although Peter had failed so miserably, nevertheless he has a responsibility. He wasn't talking about natural sheep, of course. He was talking about those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. They are like sheep that needed to be guarded and looked after. And so he said to Peter, feed my sheep. So how important it is to have valuable church leadership. And how much it behoves each one of us to pray for such people that lead the church. For they have a valuable job to perform. So Elisha went with them, and they start chopping down these branches and poles, it says. And they're going to build a place where they can all gather together. I'm not sure whether it's going to just be like a church, like a meeting place, or they're going to live in it. They said they're going to live in it in this scripture that we read. And in the process of chopping down these poles, there's an axe being wielded, and perhaps the prophet who's wielding it is a bit enthusiastic. There's something not quite right with this axe anyway. The head is not that tight on it. And he swings the axe, and you can see the scene, can't you? It comes adrift. And you can see it in slow motion almost, this axe head, and it's going, and where's it going to land? If only it had landed on the river bank. It didn't. It landed in the river itself, in the River Jordan. And it must have been pretty deep down, because the prophet was in a state of panic. He said it was borrowed. It was borrowed, it's not mine. But Elisha's there, and Elisha says, now look, where did it fall? And the Torah tells us that he took a stick. He cut a stick and he threw it into the water. And this is the awesomeness, isn't it? We've been talking about the word awesome at the beginning of the meeting. This lump of iron, which weighs heavy, why did it float to the bottom of the river? Because it was heavy. It was a block of iron. This block of iron floated to the top as if it was made of wood. And Elisha said to the guy, he said to the other prophet, he says, grab hold of it. And I bet he grabbed hold of it quickly. It was borrowed, but it had now been found. It was lost, but it was now found. I don't know how you feel this morning. You know, like the axe head, you can find yourselves in the depths of depression. Depths of failure, personal failure. Depths as a failure as a father maybe, or as a mother. We all encounter our valley types of experience. But we have a God who can lift us. And if he can lift a block of iron that shouldn't normally float on water, surely he can lift us in our own personal experience. Do you remember the story when Jesus walked on the water? That was awesome. Talk about a block of iron floating on the water. Jesus walked on the water. How could this be? Well, God can do anything. With God, all things are possible, the Bible says. Jesus walked on the water. And he walked out. He was taking a shortcut across the Sea of Galilee. And who did he come across? It was these disciples of his in the boat. And they saw him coming. And you know the story quite well, how Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come out and join you on the water. And brave old Peter stepped out, and lo and behold, he started to walk on the water until he was distracted. He was noticed that it was very windy and the waves were lashing around, and he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. If you're going to begin to sink into the waters, Lord, save me. That was a prayer, of course, when he cried out to him like that. And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him and said, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? But you see, Jesus lifted him. Jesus lifted him. We're talking this morning about a God that can lift us. The message this morning is a tale of two axes. We'll come to the second one in a moment. You know, the psalmist had got it right in Psalm 40, the opening verses of Psalm 40. It says this, talking about God, the psalmist says this, he lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. He's lifted us. And the Bible goes on to say that he set our feet upon the rock. That's what God does. And in actual fact, when you first put your faith in Jesus Christ, God lifted you and set your feet upon a rock. And as I said at the beginning, if you're in a state of depression, we have a God who lifts. Whatever your trouble, if your mind is racked with worry, God can lift us. In fact, it says, you know, underneath us are the everlasting arms. What do everlasting arms do? They lift, don't they? Our God lifts. I want to talk now about the other axe. That's the axe that fell into the water, and it's a picture of our situation at times, being in a state of depression, feeling lost, and depending on a God that can lift us. I want to come to axe number two. And you find the scripture that talks about another axe from a preacher in the New Testament. He was famous for his preaching. His name is John the Baptist. We sometimes glide over the story of John the Baptist, but you know his preaching was sensational. He was preaching about someone that was going to come, the Messiah, the Christ. And he gave the impression that Christ was at the very doors, he was about to enter earth's scene. And he was about to make himself known. And he said this about Jesus in Luke chapter 3 and verse 9. And here's the second axe. He says, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." He's referring there to Christ, the axe, and he's referring to the fact that there's going to come a day when he's going to judge this world of ours. You know, a tree can stand very proudly, can't it? A tree, massive trees, oak trees, they stand proudly. And Jesus, or John the Baptist, uses here as an illustration of trees that are going to be chopped down, that are not fruitful. It's referring not to literal trees, but it's referring to the fact the time is coming when God is going to judge the nations of the world. The Bible is full of this prophecy, you know, that God is going to judge this world. And the proud nations of this world who think they've got it all and have done it all and have accomplished everything. We live in an age, don't we, where people accomplish things. We manufacture aeroplanes, we manufacture motor cars. There's no end to what man can do, it seems, doesn't it? And we have the microchips and mobile phones. What amazing things mankind has achieved. And we also move the goalposts, we change the rules, we say that it doesn't matter about what God says about marriage. You go your own way, do your own thing. People have become very proud with their achievements. But the time is coming when Jesus Christ is going to return, and he says the axe will be laid at the root of the trees. God is going to judge this world of ours. But you know, this story that we read in the beginning in 2 Kings chapter 6 about the axe that fell into the water, although it speaks of us perhaps being in a valley and being lifted, it also speaks about Jesus Christ in a very vivid way as we look at it now. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this earth of ours, his preaching was buoyant. They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." That's what they said. They were awestruck when he spoke. They came to arrest him on one occasion and they went away empty-handed. They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ went into the darkest valley that any man has ever been when he was crucified upon the cross. You know the story, how he was arrested and he was deliberately played into their hands, for this was God's plan. And he was laid in the tomb. And they rolled the stone. How dark that tomb was. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says God covered that scene with darkness for 3 hours. It was a dark valley. The depths that you couldn't plummet. A dark valley of sorrow and pain when Jesus Christ bore our sins upon the cross. And he was laid in that empty tomb, that borrowed tomb. And the stone was rolled in front of it. And they sealed it up. and they set a guard on it. And you know, the Pharisees who had committed this deed, this wicked deed, had him crucified. They said, "That's it." You can imagine back home in their homes, they were rejoicing. They thought, "That's it, that's the end of this fellow. He's in that tomb now, he's locked in. He's in the deep valley, if you like, he'll never get out." Little did they realise, just as the axe head rose to the surface, so this axe, the Lord Jesus Christ, would rise from the dead on the third day. In the Authorised Version, the old King James Version of the Bible, it talks about, you know, in this version here, it talks about floating. In the Authorised Version, it says the axe head swam. That's what it says. It came to the surface and the axe head swam. You know, that's vision of something swimming. This dead lump of iron swimming. But you see the picture, don't you? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was alive. He ate a meal with them. He ate fish and bread because he was alive. They were able to touch him and could see that he was alive. He'd risen from the dead. He'd been in the depths, but this man had risen from the dead. Listen to what the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, referring to this living Christ. In Acts 2, verse 32, Peter says this: "God raised this Jesus to life," and then he went on to say, "and he has been exalted to God's right hand." You know, the word exalted means surely to be lifted. They thought they'd got him in that tomb, but no, he has been exalted. He's been raised from the dead, and he's been exalted to God's right hand. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this about Jesus Christ. First of all, it describes his descent. It says, he descended to the lower earthly regions. He is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That's how the Bible puts it. He's been raised to be exalted, and he fills the whole universe. Now that's awesome. We were talking about the many light years it takes for light to reach us. The Bible says that Christ fills the whole universe. That's super abundant awesome, isn't it? He's been raised from the dead. Now I want us to take a quantum leap now, because this is where we now enter a great thing that has happened. You might have thought this morning at the outset, you might think of yourself that you feel that you may be sinking or in a sunken state, in a time of depression. But let us just progress here. You know, the Apostle Paul uses a term in Scripture that occurs time and time and time again. I didn't understand it when I first got converted. Why didn't he just say, "You belong to Christ now"? I mean, that's true. When you become a Christian, you belong to Christ. That's a simple way to put it. But the Apostle Paul, in his writings, always referred to us as being in Christ. And I used to wonder, what's that mean, in Christ? As a young 12-year-old, when I got converted, I hadn't the foggiest what it meant. In Christ, what's it mean? It means a great thing. Under this platform here, I believe it's still here, we have what they call a baptismal tank. Is it still there? Which you fill with water. You fill it with, it's only ordinary water. It's bought from Severn Trent. Well, what happens is, in this tank of water, when somebody becomes a Christian, they get baptized. Now, you need to understand, first of all, that getting baptized doesn't make you a Christian. Oh, no. It's only ordinary water. But the baptism has great, great, great meaning, you see. When you're baptized, and the minister stands outside the tank, I think, but the candidate, he steps into the water, and he perhaps wears some special gear for the occasion, and the people are singing, but then they lower you into the waters until you're completely submerged, not for too long, and then they lift you back up again. That is a picture that the Bible gives us of what it means to be in Christ. You see, when you become a Christian, you are plunged into the death of Christ. And when you come out of the waters, you are part of the resurrection. You've been raised with Christ. The Apostle Paul put it like this, and he was quite vivid about it. You know, the Apostle Paul was going around preaching, but yet he said this: I have been crucified, he says, with Christ. He hadn't literally been crucified, but what he was referring to is the fact that when you become a Christian, that is what's happened. You are plunged into the very death of Christ and raised again. You come out of the waters, you are raised with Christ. Christ rose from the dead on the third day, and likewise, you have new life. You are in Christ. It therefore follows, and I'll read this verse now, there's something then really, very fantastic, awesome. I like that word that you've introduced this morning. Awesome. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. This is what it says about you and I. If you have faith in Jesus Christ this morning, this is what it says about you and me. Ephesians 2, verse 6. It says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I said earlier that Christ had been exalted at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that we likewise have been exalted with Christ. We too have been exalted. We've been lifted. You might be thinking this morning, I need to be lifted. But just a minute. If you're a Christian, you've been lifted. So often in our valleys, we think, oh dear, who's going to get me out of this? You need to remind yourselves, you have already been lifted, exalted. You sit with Christ. Now I know that our feelings can wax and wane, can't they? You might feel quite jolly today, but tomorrow's Monday, and it's back to the drudgery of the washing or whatever you do, or the office or whatever you work or your studies. Things change. Sunday's nice. I always used to look forward to Saturday and Sunday, and then came Monday. Christian life is like that. It can be up and down. One minute you may feel you're up in the, you know, in the heights. Another moment you're in the depths. Life is like that, especially when it comes to our health. It can wane, can't it? But there's something that never changes. There's something that never, never changes. And Jesus made this statement. He said, you know, we've been talking about the universe this morning, but Jesus mentioned the universe. He called them the heavens. He said, you know, heaven and earth will pass away. And the Bible says he will one day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's a certainty about what God has said. There are times when you won't feel exalted, and you wonder if this gospel message is true for you at times. You may be filled with doubts. But don't worry about your doubts and your fears, for there's one thing that can't change, It's God's word, and God says amazing things about you and I because of our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we've been exalted to his right hand. Now, there's something else about this story that we've missed out, and we're just coming to it now. You know the axe head that fell into the water? What did the prophet do, Elisha? He cut a stick. That's what he did. He cut a stick and he threw it into the water. And then the iron axe floated to the top. You say, what's that all about? Well, I believe the stick, the wood, speaks about the human nature of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ became a man like you and I. The Word was made flesh, it says, and dwelt amongst us. He took on human likeness. But this was no ordinary man, of course. This was the Son of God in the flesh. His death upon the cross was like the stick thrown into the water. It had great power. We sing, don't we, the power of the cross. And that's where it all hinges. That's where it all comes from. Our lifting, our exaltation has come as a result of what Jesus did upon the cross. He lifts us. In the scripture that we read, it says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And there's a statement. He seated us. Now you know, don't you, tomorrow morning, when you've done perhaps some big chores, especially the domestic scene, you've done the washing, come 11 o'clock, you may well be sitting down and having a coffee. Why is that? This is the time to sit down. The job's done. You've finished for a few moments in the day, and you take a rest. Listen, we are seated with Christ because the job's done. We sometimes think there's so much more to be done with us, but the Bible says it's done. What did Jesus say upon the cross? His last words, it is finished. It is finished. And it says that he too sits down at the right hand of the Father because the job's finished. His work upon the cross is finished. It really is. Our job as Christians is to discover more and more how true that is. Faith has to lay hold of it. Do you remember when the iron was floating or swimming on the top of the water? Elisha said to the prophet, take hold of it and grab it out. Pull it out, lift it out, he says. When you became a Christian, the hands of God took hold of you. That's why you're still in the faith now. God has taken hold of you. Do you remember what Jesus said? No one will snatch you from my hands. No one. Can you see that guy with the axe head? When he was floating, he would grab it like there was no tomorrow, wouldn't he? He'd grab it and he would hold on to it tightly. And he would make sure the axe head never went near the river again. Jesus takes hold of us. He has taken hold of us. And that's why our future in Christ and our exaltation is assured. We're going to close this morning with a hymn. Well, it's a chorus really, I suppose. And it's that hymn where it says, he is exalted. And I want to sing this and remember, if he's exalted, so are we. Because we are in Christ Jesus. It's a simple thing that the Bible makes. It's in there time and time again. But faith has to lay hold of it. And it's a progression in our Christian experience. We learn more and more how much Jesus has done for us on the cross. He's brought about our exaltation. We were in the mud and the mire, but we've been lifted. To be praises to God. Let's sing that. Can we hear it? Where's Keith? Okay, thanks.